Your work week is over.
The plant called and said if you don't come in tomorrow, don't bother coming in Monday.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend.
This is The Last Word, the off-season home of the Colts, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
Welcome into The Last Word, the weekly off-season radio show of your Colts, airing every Friday evening on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. We're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make every moment more. My name's Jeffrey Gorman. I am joined week in and week out by the voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor. Matey, how are we?
I am doing great. Good to be back with you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. A lot to talk about. These NFL owner meetings have come and went down in Orlando.
Indeed.
We're also going to take a look at the upcoming radical changes of the NFL rule book. We'll get to that. But Matey, here's what we got coming up tonight. It's Friday night. We're going to open the cooler up and dip into the six-pack. Let's take in big storylines.
There you go.
That the Colts are talking about and Colts fans everywhere are talking about this point in the offseason. Here's cold beverage number one.
Anthony. Ooh, that's a good sound right
yes,
there on
is.
A Friday.
And that means Anthony Richardson. First and foremost, Shane Steichen talking about this earlier in the week at the owners' meetings, expressing his optimism that the QB, Anthony Richardson, should be able to rejoin the team at the start of the offseason workout program, which starts, Matey, in a few weeks from now. Steichen said, yeah, I think he'll be good to go for spring practice. Obviously, we have to limit it and monitor it and don't go overboard with him. But he's saying, hey, I cannot be more excited to get him back going again. Mm-hmm. Matey, I mean, how important is this that he is physically ready to take on the responsibilities of the starting quarterback position?
Well, I think it's awesome. I think it's really important for the obvious reasons, right? Time on task, mm-hmm. you know, get in tune with the playbook again. Jeffrey, too, I also think it's symbolic. The fact that he's potentially going to be with the team the earliest he can be with the team is important considering what happened last year. I think it sends a message to the team that this is our guy. This is our franchise quarterback. It's kind of a visual resetting of things from last year to this year. I think all of that signifies this is the start of something new, and from that standpoint, I think it's really important.
Hey, a lot of Colts fans and NFL heads out there are talking about Chris Ballard and what he did this offseason. What he did is re-sign his own, and you're talking about an offense that was led last year predominantly by Gardner Minshew, but he's saying, hey, we get our guy in there a healthy 17 weeks. Look out. Here's Chris Ballard on what the Colts offense can be next year with the trio of Anthony Richardson, Michael Pittman Jr., and, of course, Jonathan Taylor.
Well, I think, one, getting, you know, Anthony – getting him back in the mix and into a full season is going to be fun for everybody to watch. And I think when you look at Pittman another year two really in the new offense, Jonathan Taylor being healthy for an offseason. We forget last offseason he went through a surgery and rehab, and then we had the contract stuff going on. For him to be clear mentally and physically, I think we're about to see a monster year from Jonathan. And then getting Anthony back in the mix with those guys, you know, makes it exciting going forward. And then, you know, you don't ever want to forget about, you know, we think Josh Downs, we like Pierce, we like the totality of our tight end room, and we think we got a really good offensive line. So we think, of course, you always want to add. But we got the draft and some more free agency here down the line, but we're excited about where we're at.
Hey, Matey, we know what Shane Steichen can do with putting points on the board. Now we're talking about 17 weeks, knock on wood, Anthony Richardson there as well. How explosive can this Colts offense be next season?
Well, it can be very exciting. I mean, in the four games that Richardson played last year, you had weeks 1, 2, 4, and 5. The Colts were 9th in explosive runs, 10th in explosive passes. So if Pittman comes back and dominates the middle of the field like he did last year, if Downs can grow and add more yards after the catch, if Alec Pierce can be more of a factor stretching the field with Richardson as his quarterback, and if the Colts can get Jeffrey maybe one more piece, mm-hmm. if they can get one more guy to win on the outside the numbers and down the field, that's a win for the Colts in the passing game. If the passing game has that many threats about it, how are you going to stop the running game?
Right.
Defenses at that point are not going to be able to afford to keep 8-9 guys in the box if the Colts can win in the passing game on the outside. So lighter boxes mean big things for Richardson and Taylor. There's a lot to like. And like I said, inevitably there's going to be, I think, a few more weapons on this offense next year that we're not talking about yet, that we don't know yet, that are going to be a big contributing factor to the explosivity, if you will, of this offense next year.
Huge year out of Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, a quarterback's best friend is the running game. Matt Taylor right there shotgunning the first cold beverage of the night. Let's go to cold beverage number two.
Hey, take that phone call,
won't
too, by the
it.
Way.
No, won't do it. Not going to. Absolutely. All right, cold beverage number two. Mate, real quick, is this rookie season number two for Anthony Richardson, or the development of playing a limited amount of snaps next year going into a second year?
Well, I think you're definitely going to have some speed bumps again, considering all the time that he missed. I mean, we saw last year in five games, there were some rookie mistakes, coupled, though, with brilliant explosive plays. So what you want is for the big plays to outweigh the rookie mistakes, but for the rookie mistakes to completely eradicate themselves or get to the point where they're lessened, you want as much time on task in the spring and in the summer. So you need to flush out as much of the rookiness as possible between now and the start of the regular season.
Mate, slow down a little bit. We got a six-pack here, and you're just sucking these brews down right here. Hey, let me get another cold beverage number three.
There you go.
All right, re-signing their own. We talked about that earlier. At this point, the Colts have primarily re-signed their own players within the building who they didn't want to see leave in free agency. Here's General Manager Chris Ballard on why it's important to re-sign so many key players on defense.
Well, look, they're all one. They're all been really good players for us. You know, being able to get all three of those guys back into the fold, we were really excited about. You know, all three of them had other opportunities, and, you know, luckily we were able to get a deal done to get them back. And I don't think you can underestimate continuity and being in the scheme another year, how much that's going to help, you know, not only them personally, but also the team.
Mate, what do you make of the approach the Colts primarily stick into re-signing their own players?
The players the Colts have re-signed are some of the best players at their positions in the NFL, right? So if you don't re-sign those guys, you have even more voids you got to fill. So it's really hard to put a team together, right? When free agency starts, it's hard to be a GM. You're talking about a lot of people. You're talking on the phone. You're juggling a lot of balls. And all of those guys that the Colts re-signed, as Chris said, had interest from other teams. So the Colts had to act fast to bring them back. So they've reportedly missed out on some players that they were interested in. And that's the reminder in all of this that it takes two to tango in free agency, right? It's not as easy as just calling up a guy or calling up an agent and say, hey, you want to come play for the Colts? Players can literally go wherever they want for their own reason. So it was important to lock up key players that have been a part of this core for this team. But, you know, free agency is still ongoing. You still have the draft coming up. And I think, again, some of the best players on this team in 2024, we don't know who they are yet.
That's Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts. I'm Jeffrey Gorman. This is The Last Word. Mate, open up another cold beverage, but pace yourself. Chris Ballard said earlier this week at those owners' meetings there could be opportunities to do more through free agency in the coming weeks in the secondary. He said, we know we need to add, and there's still some vets out there that'll definitely they're going to pay attention to, but there's still work to be done. Mate, how important is this defensive backfield for the Colts before the draft to get something done?
Well, it's probably the most untested part of the team at this point. Obviously, it's a really important part of the team. I mean, Dallas Flowers was an undrafted guy a couple years ago, and he's coming off an Achilles tear in week four last year. Juju Brents, Jalen Jones. Brents missed a lot of time with a variety of injuries. You've got Nick Cross and Rodney Thomas, still very young players at the safety position. I think the Colts are really high on a lot of those guys. You got to have a lot of upside and potential with those young players. But you are indeed young. You are very young outside of Kenny Moore, who's playing the slot position in the secondary. So, yeah, it would not shock me at all for the Colts to continue to look at the open market in the secondary before the draft and specifically at corner, like you talked about.
Yeah, let's talk some safeties here. Open another one, will you? What about this? The NFL safety free agent market remains pretty stocked. We got four-time All-Pro Justin Simmons out there. Julian Blackman, former Colt, could be another. I don't know. We're going to find out. Blackman is the only starter Ballard has not re-signed this offseason. At this point, Mate, what's the likelihood of Blackman coming back and returning to this Colts defense with a new deal?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's still on the table, obviously. But the safety market, like you said, it's been flooded with some big names. And there's teams that are out there that are trying to, you know, come to a determination on what the safety market looks like and what these guys are worth considering the amount of players that are still available. So I think the talks are still ongoing with Julian Blackman, but he has been in talks with other teams reportedly coming off his best season, but got hurt on Christmas Eve. Again, kind of a little bit of a challenging profile. Two major knee injuries in the NFL, but when he's been healthy, he's been awesome. He's been a game changer for the Colts,
right.
A sure tackler, you know, great communicator out there, a leader on defense. So that's one we're definitely going to have to keep an eye out for in terms of how this all plays out.
Best ability is availability, yeah. So we're going to find out what happens. Mate, we may need a keg for this next one, but seriously, open up that six-pack again one more time. Raekwon Davis, the impact. If you don't know him, get to know him. The Colts have signed
him. He is the human eclipse.
Oh, my gosh. This is an oak tree of a man, okay? He came over from the Dolphins earlier, standing at 6'7", weighing 325 pounds. Here he is, Chris Ballard, on the versatility of Raekwon Davis for the Colts up front.
He'll definitely be in the mix. He's a big man who can move for a big man. So everybody knows my philosophy. Like, I don't think you can have enough good players up front. We're excited to get him and get him in the mix and, you know, see what more he can add to the defense. But we think he can play both the one and the three and give us some snaps. But we know Grover can play both the one and the three, and it gives us some flexibility inside, also with Buck.
We just opened up a six-pack of Colts off-season cold beverages, Mate, and I know you're a little tipsy right now, but listen, what does Raekwon Davis...
Root beer on a Friday.
What does Raekwon Davis mean for this defensive front? Like, overall, who does he spell? You know what I'm saying? Who's he taking snaps away from last year?
Yeah, I think Grover Stewart and DeForest Buckner. We just heard in that clip that he does have some versatility about him to play the one technique, which is the nose tackle, and the three technique, the defensive tackle position that DeForest Buckner plays. So Davis has been a guy. He's going into his fifth year. He's played over 500 snaps in every season, so he's been durable. And like you said, he can play multiple positions. And quite frankly, this addition, I think, of Raekwon Davis makes the Colts not so vulnerable against the run when those key guys are on the sideline.
And you'll see him walking out into the field, the likes of DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, and Raekwon Davis. It looks like a redwood forest, I'm telling you, at Lucas Oil Stadium. So wait for it. Mate, take a seat, maybe lay down, get a cup of coffee,
yeah,
get some fresh air.
I need some water.
You're a little tipsy after that six-pack. Fans, don't forget the Colts have teamed up with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield to recognize school teachers, administrators, nurses, and staff members who go above and beyond for their students, their schools, and their communities. Nominate your classroom quarterback today at colts.com/classroom quarterbacks. Matt Taylor, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. When we come back, we're going to talk about some major, and I mean major, rule changes coming to the NFL in 2024, including this radical modification of the kickoff. This is The Last Word here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to The Last Word, the offseason home of the Colts, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
God, is that an appreciated song?
Is this Toto?
No. Men at Work.
This?
Men at Work from Australia.
It's an all-80s weekend,
yes.
Here on The Last Word.
By the way, Matt Taylor and myself will be joining JMB on Saturday night on B105, playing some of your finest 80s, 90s, 70s, and 2000 hits. What do you
all
think about
requests
that?
Saturday night with JMB.
Hey, we are The Last Word, brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make every moment more. Also, be sure to check out Behind the Colts, the team's off-season documentary-style program. This includes never-before-seen footage and unique access to the personalities and events that shaped this team. First episode, including a profile of head coach Shane Steichen. You're not going to want to miss it. Check out Behind the Colts on all Colts social media channels, as well as the Colts app and Colts.com. Matt Taylor, whoa! We have got some changes in the rules of the NFL, and you know NFL fans, they like things one way. They don't like to change. This is in my opinion, if you love peanut butter and jelly, somebody's serving you a Mexican.
Yeah, here's a big fat burrito.
Burrito now. Yeah. I mean, completely different. It starts with the kickoff changes.
Yeah.
NFL owners this week, they approved the changes to the games this week in Orlando. The most radical, obviously the kickoff. The changes to the rules are as follows. For a standard kickoff, the ball would be kicked from the 35-yard line with the 10 kick coverage players lined up at the opposing 40. That's 5 yards away from their opposition, okay? Mate, make some sense about this. This is almost has a feel of a rugby scrum to start football games, before the kickoff and after scores.
Well, it's certainly new. It's definitely radical, and I think it's going to take some time for fans to not only get used to how it looks and how drastic, different it is. In terms of the changes themselves, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
The fair catch rule did not work. Kickoff returns dropped drastically to 22% last year. The Colts, I said this on the podcast this week, the Colts had 9 kickoff returns the entire season. We had a Super Bowl with 13 kickoffs, 0 returns in the championship game.
Wow, good
pull
there.
It's really, really boring. So This takes a non-play, and it makes it really interesting. I think it makes it exciting. I think also, too, it makes it safer, so it checks all the boxes for the NFL. The high-speed collisions in the play are no more. There's still strategy about it. There's still some gamesmanship involved. And now, Jeffrey, too, you have to think about roster construction. You have to think about which players are best suited to be on your kickoff teams. Special teams players now are more involved. They're more valuable. So the back end of the roster guys have to love this change. I would have loved to have seen it implemented last year, to be honest with you.
Hey, fans, just telling you, I know it's tough to follow along with these, you know, the audio version of this rule, but you really have to see this thing in front of you to find out how it's going to work. And, Maytay, you said it best. It's going to impact some of the Colts in their roster construction when it comes to back-end guys that are going to be special team aces. So I'm just telling you, all NFL fans don't like changes, but this is a big one. Maytay, is this going to go on the hip drop tackle and the kickoff rule? Are they subject to change after 1 year?
They are, but I think both are here to stay. It's going to be altered based on what we see early in the season. But I think this is great because I think it puts more emphasis on every team, the Colts included, possibly bringing in a bona fide return guy, like a special, you know, dynamic speedster that can change the game. You know, Ashton Doohan for the Colts has done it. Dallas Flowers has shown he can do it. He's got 17 career kick returns for about 25-yard average. Josh Downs can do it, although he's kind of a big part of the offense. I think this position could be one of the biggest game breakers on an NFL team now because the dynamic of the play and just the return rate going way up. He can change the game by setting up the offense with great field position. If you're down late in the game in the fourth quarter and you're down, you know, one score or you need a field goal to tie, this could be a huge way to set you up in field position.
Get ready, fans. It's changing. The NFL, as you know it, these rule changes will affect games. Obviously, we're going to see how they play out. Matt, I appreciate you taking us through that thing step by step. It's still confusing to some. If you have the brain mentality like me, I've got to see it in front of me to figure out what's going on. But fans all over the NFL, you're going to like what's coming up because the rule changes are for a safety factor, but to bring some more excitement back into the game. Be ready for it. The rule changes are here to stay, like Matt Taylor said. Hey, be sure to check up on the Colts with the Colts Audio Network featuring the weekly official Colts podcast. Also this, Inside the Draft series, where we talk to national insiders regarding the draft on a weekly basis. We got Luke Easterling from Athlon Sports, who broke down why he thinks the Colts should be leaning towards drafting a defensive end at the 15th overall pick. It's the Colts Audio Network, available on Colts.com, the Colts mobile app, and wherever you download your podcast. We're up against it. The Pacers are coming up. LeBron James, Nick Van Exel, Robert Horry coming into Gamebridge tonight. So
The whole crew
is Shaq. There. When we come back, we'll bring you the Forum Credit Union question of the week. This is The Last Word on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
This is your weekly fix on Colts football. The Last Word with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
All right, thank you, Toto. We're brought to you by
this
great
is Toto.
There you go, right there.
Hey,
we're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel and Toto as well. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Also brought to you by our friends at Meyer, the official supercenter of your Indianapolis Colts. Time now for the Forum Credit Union question of the week. Maytay,
lay it on me.
Colts backup quarterback Joe Flacco, heading into his 17th NFL season, has thrown for over 43,000 yards and 245 touchdowns. Only two active quarterbacks have thrown for more yards than Flacco. Who are they? I'll tell you what, I'll give you one. One is going to run for vice president.
Active quarterbacks?
Active quarterbacks. One of them may be running for vice president.
Yeah, so we got the political realm now of Aaron Rodgers.
There it is. Aaron Rodgers is one. Give me another old-timer who's still slinging it.
Man, I'm drawing a blank here.
Come on. Think Detroit.
Can't be Brady.
Think Detroit. And I'm not talking about Scott
Goff?
Mitchell.
Not Jared Goff.
No, not Jared Goff. Matthew Stafford.
Oh, okay.
Slinging in L.A. now. Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, obviously Joe Flacco in that group.
Jared Goff.
I know, Josh. Hey, visit the Forum Credit Union Fan Forum section of Colts.com. Interact with other fans online. Maytay, football on Christmas. They've said two games are here. What do you think? It's a Wednesday.
If we can play games on Wednesday, we can play games any day. Right in the middle of the week. So, yeah, football on Christmas as you're opening up your eggnog, or I should say, you know, taking back your eggnog and and digging through your stocking, that's here to stay.
Good stuff.
No doubt about it.
Good stuff on the show today. Maytay opening up that six-pack. I know you're tipsy right now. But
speaking of eggnog.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, coming up, like I said, Robert Horry and Nick Van Exel invading Gamebridge. Coming up next, the Pacers pregame when they are taking on the Lakers tonight. This is The Last Word, 93.5. 93.5, 107.5, The Fan.